Good morning, and welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Albert Morales, your host and managing partner of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. We created the center in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at www.businessofgovernment.org. The Business of Government Radio Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our special guest this morning is Phyllis Scheinberg, Assistant Secretary for Budget and Programs and Chief Financial Officer for the Department of Transportation. Good morning, Phyllis.
Good morning, Al.
And joining us in our conversation, also from IBM, is Deborah Kammer. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning, Al.
Phyllis, as I look at the Department of Transportation organizational structure, it looks a lot like a holding company. Can you give us a little insight into the activities of its 12 operating components?
Certainly. You're absolutely right. It is like a holding company. It's a very diverse department. We range from activities like the 24/7 air traffic control operation in FAA to pipeline safety inspectors and to $38 billion a year in the highway grant program. When people ask what the largest organization in the department is, I have to ask, what do you mean? What's your context? Because FAA has most of our employees, 47,000 out of the department's total of 57,000. But the Federal Highway Administration has the majority of the funding, $38 billion out of about $60 billion a year. We also have several regulatory programs in NHTSA, FAA, motor carriers. I don't know if you've heard of the hours of service regulation. This is for truck drivers and how long they can be on the road in any one week. And it's been very controversial. And FRA with the railroad regulations. So we get into a lot of regulations and that affect the public, the traveling public and the working public. We also do have a lot of inspections or control a lot of inspections, railroads, pipelines, motor carriers, aviation, airline inspections. And number one mission of the department is safety. But this has always been the case, and this is really why we exist. Just another example is that we have four credit programs. Most people don't think of the Department of Transportation as a loan or a lending agency, but we do have four loan and loan guarantee programs. So when you look at that as a portfolio, clearly we have quite a diverse department.
Phyllis, I'd like to probe the four credit programs because I wasn't aware of that. But before we do that, can you tell us about specifically the mission of your office, the Office of the Assistant Secretary for Budget and Programs and CFO within the Department of Transportation?
Well, I work for the Secretary, Secretary Mineta, and my responsibility is to oversee the flow of all the funds in the department, $66 billion this year. I'm responsible for the budget preparation and execution of our funds. Also responsible for the preparation of the consolidated financial statements and the coordination of the financial audit, which is going on right now. Also, the oversight of the department's program performance. And it's my role to interact with OMB and the appropriations committees in the Congress.
Tell us a little bit more about your own specific role as Assistant Secretary.
Well, I think of myself as a problem solver. One of the things that I really is important to me is to help the staff, my staff and the financial staff throughout the department, be able to do their job and help them get their job done. So I take on the role of solving the problems that are standing in the way and impeding the progress. Another part of my job is to implement the president's agenda, certainly the president's management agenda, and other policies that come out of the White House, and to support the secretary. Everything has a budget and finance component to it. So every time he testifies, speeches he gives, interactions with the White House when he goes to a cabinet meeting, I help him prepare. And certainly any policy proposals that come up through the department and go to the secretary come through me for comment. I consider my strongest role in the department that of building a strong team of financial professionals throughout DOT. It's very important to me that we have a strong team and that we that the financial professionals see themselves as a component, not just that they're the individual operating administrations don't feel connected to each other.
And approximately how many professionals do you have in your organization?
The Office of the Assistant Secretary is about 55 people. But I have a dotted line relationship to the financial folks in each of the 12 operating administrations.
Now, we understand that you came from or have some experience working with DoD programs when you were at GAO, mm-hmm. and that you evaluated transportation programs. How has that helped prepare you for your current assignment?
It was excellent preparation. I was at GAO for 11 years, working almost the whole time on transportation programs. My responsibility was most of the time surface transportation, and I became one of the directors of transportation issues at GAO. So in that capacity, I managed program reviews that GAO did. These were not financial audits. They were program audits. And I was responsible for testifying before the Congress on those reports and on the subject areas. And I also did quite a bit of speaking to conferences and interest groups. What this did is gave me a level of knowledge of DOT programs, transportation programs, that I would never have been able to acquire just through a financial job or working on the budget. And so when I came to the department, I was able to help people in the operating administrations in the program side of things, and I saw the connection. I knew how their programs worked, and I knew what they were trying to do, and I could help them with the budget and the financing and put it together with the program knowledge. My other experience was 9 years. Before I went to GAO, I had spent 9 years at OMB as a transportation budget examiner, and that experience was invaluable. I use that experience all the time. Knowing what goes on inside OMB and how OMB thinks is just really important when you work in a department CFO.
And I would imagine in particular with those 12 operating units, the people who have dotted line responsibility, that's particularly helpful when you work with them. Could you talk a little bit about what that's like to have a dotted line responsibility into those places?
Yes, I'd like to very much, because that was not the case when I first went to DOT. I've been at DOT for 4.5 years, but I've been the assistant secretary for about 5 months. Before that, I was the deputy assistant secretary. And when I first was there, we did not have this dotted line relationship. And in fact, the capabilities in some of the modes were not what they are now. One of the things that we have done is set up a CFO, a chief financial officer, in each of those 12 operating administrations. When we first went there 4.5 years ago, the only operation that had a CFO position was the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration. It's only been recently that the Federal Highway Administration, with $38 billion in grants, has a chief financial officer. So that was one of the goals that I and my predecessors have been able to implement, is to develop the caliber of staff and the professionalism of the staff in each of these operations. And in doing that, it was very important to me that these people have a connection to me in addition to their connection to their administrator. And part of this is done through the selection process that I have approval and input into the selection of these folks. I have input into their performance ratings, and I have input into the bonuses. These are the senior-level financial folks in each of the operating administrations. I don't see this as a negative thing. I think this shows the connection, that these people want to work with me and I want to work with them, and not just that they're some kind of remote connection. They're really part of my family and my team. So that's how we've been able to do that. And all this has been accomplished in the last 4 years, so I'm very proud of that.
It sounds like it's done wonders to strengthen the financial management at DOT. Now, you've mentioned how you were at GAO and at OMB in a career position, and now you're a political appointee. Could you talk about the significant differences between those two roles?
If you don't mind, I'd like to tell you how this happened. It's kind of personal, but I'd like to share it with you because it's something that's been very meaningful to me. I never had intended or had even any interest in becoming a presidential appointee. As I said, I worked at OMB as a budget examiner for 9 years. I worked at GAO for 11 years. And while I was at GAO and the beginning of this administration, the nominees for my current position, the Assistant Secretary for Budget and the Deputy Secretary nominee, called me and asked me to come talk to them. And I assumed that they wanted to talk to me about what I knew about the department, given my role at GAO, because I knew them and I knew people who we had friends in common. And so the fact that they would call me would be logical. I had talked to the transition team and others. And when I came for the meeting at DOT, I was immediately approached, and they said, we know that you know what our problems are, and we want you to come and help us solve them. And that was a very meaningful moment for me because it made me realize that I could stay at GAO and audit these folks and review them and continue to throw arrows at them, or I could go and sort of put the money where my mouth was and actually address these issues. So I made a quick decision and made a quick move. But I did say I had one condition, that the position had been a political position, Deputy Assistant Secretary. And I said I did not want to have a political position. I wanted to continue my long federal civil service career. And so they changed the position for me and made it a career. It was an optional kind of position. And so I came to DOT 4.5 years ago as a career Deputy Assistant Secretary, which is quite unusual, and worked in that capacity for 4 years. Always felt part of the circle and the Secretary's team, so much so that last January, when Linda Combs was nominated to be the Comptroller of the United States, Secretary Mineta asked me if I would consider replacing Linda. That's quite a thrill when a cabinet secretary says, I want you to do this. And of course, I've been Linda's deputy and before her, Donna McLean's deputy. And so I felt the secretary knew what he was getting. If he asked me to do this, he clearly knew who I was and what I would do. And I said yes. And so I went through the White House process, was nominated and had a Senate hearing, a Senate Commerce Committee, and was confirmed by the end of April. So that was quite a thrill after 26 years of federal service to go through all that. It's been pretty exciting to have the top job for the last 5 months or so. And because I was in the office before, it's the same but different than it was before. And so it's kind of it's a neat experience for me.
What things do you notice about the difference between being a presidential appointee and civil servant?
Well, clearly I'm involved in more issues beyond the issues that I was involved in before, that I'm involved in issues that would not just be financial issues. And that's true for the White House and the president's priorities and the secretary's priorities and how he fulfills his job vis-a-vis the White House. So I have a heightened awareness of what's going on in the White House and how the secretary is interacting with that. And I also, as the assistant secretary and CFO, have a greater accountability for the work that we do in the office. I would say that I definitely feel that the buck stops at my desk. If, God forbid, we shouldn't get a clean audit, it would be I would be the one who would have to go to the secretary and explain what happened, whereas before I might have gone with the assistant secretary.
That's great. What is the Transportation Center for Excellence and how does it impact financial operations? We will ask Transportation Assistant Secretary Phyllis Scheinberg to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.